And we're talking about a series called Not Alone, and it's relationships. And let me tell you what we're going to do today. In the middle of this, I'm going to share something I shared about a year ago here, because I was not asked, I was begged if I would do this today. And so I have consented. I normally don't, but I was not asked, I was begged if I would do this. So I'm going to do a little portion of it in the middle. But what we're going to talk about is about relationships. And I was in Northern Alabama doing a conference, part of a conference, and I shared a little bit of this. And the pastor up there sent me a text about a couple weeks later about a couple that was on the verge of divorce, on the verge of suicide, some of them, and on and on and on. And how this, even though it's going to be comical, it's a little funny, all right, a little comical. So look at somebody, say, it's okay to laugh today. Would you just say, it's okay to laugh? And so just don't laugh at the other person. This morning, my mom, if you didn't know my mom has been a little sick. And so she's been in the hospital for about 5 days. And I've spent a number of nights up there. How many know that'll get your mind going real great after 4 or 5 nights? And they brought her up this morning early. We brought up some stuff, and we brought before the first service, and brought up some lipstick. Well, I didn't know she would use it as rouge. She put it on her face. So I'm sitting there with a... I'm sitting there with a nurse, and I laugh, and it hurts my mom's feelings. So I didn't do that again, all right? So I hurt her feelings. But it was funny. I mean, it was whatever. All right. But don't laugh at each other. Don't laugh at your family. But you will laugh at yourself. Come on, somebody. And so you'll have fun with this, and I won't say anything more. But it will help, and I think it's a good. Ephesians 5:23 says, "However, let each one of you love his wife." Everybody say love. His wife as himself, and let the wife see that she, everybody say respects. Respects. This is Not Alone number 3, and this has to do with love and respect. Go together like a horse and carriage. You can't have one without the other. So let's talk about that today. Father, we love you. We thank you. You are so worthy. Lord, we just ask you, open up our hearts and minds. Teach us of your ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. All right, man, you can be seated today. One of the things that I used to do wrong, and I took over when I was young, I attended Brother Roy Stockstill's funeral last Sunday night, and the thing that made me feel old is that when I took over the church here, Brother Roy was a pastor at Bethany for 5 years before he turned it over to Larry, who is now retired, and turned it over to his son Jonathan. How many of that make you feel old after a while? And so Brother Roy used to call me. We used to go do some mission trips and all. But one of the things I did when I first started ministering was, and here's how I grew up in the Baptist church. Mother's Day was a sermon. When you had Mother's Day, it was all about how great you are, how hard you work, how much you be. But then when Father's Day came around, I mean, we whipped up on them. We brutalized them. We told them, you know, you need to do this and that and this and that. And we just, I mean, just all the things you did wrong. So I don't know what the deal is, but I just decided at some point, I remember in the last 40 years of being here, that I just realized one day, let's stop beating up on men for being men. Come on, somebody. Or let me say this. Let's stop beating up on men for not being women. A lot of women, when you ask them to describe their perfect man to marry, they describe another woman. God did not make men women. He made us men, and he made us for a reason, the way we are. We're not demented. We're not twisted. We're not broken. We're not, you know, deformed. We're men. Everybody say amen today. And the men are very simple. I see, women are more complex than men. Men are very simple, simple, S-E-X, simple. That's all they are. They're very simple-minded. Women are wired differently. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. And women and men think very differently. This morning, Jasmine and I had a fight over my shirt I'm wearing today. It was last night, wasn't it? And so what it was, I had a shirt I wanted to wear. She said it looked wrinkled. And so I didn't think it looked wrinkled, but then she pulled out another shirt, and I said, well, that shirt looks more wrinkled than the shirt I was going to choose. Well, then I wouldn't think because how many of you guys, I got so many shirts and suits and all this, they crammed together so tight in there finally that we downsized, but we didn't downsize our clothes. And so we crammed them. So I was meaning I had wrinkled this shirt up from cramming it in there so fast after she had ironed it. Well, she thought I meant that I didn't think she did a good job ironing my shirt. Come on, somebody. So things can go haywire because we're wired differently in how we talk about See, and what happens is because men and women are quick to make, listen, this is a very important thing. We are quick to make into heart problems what is a head problem. Now, you need to get that real quick. We are quick to make into heart problems what is really a head problem and not a heart. I mean like this. A woman who acts in a certain way and a man thinks she doesn't care. Something wrong with her heart when really it's the way that a woman processes things. Same will happen with a man. A man will act in a certain way and a woman thinks he's got a problem with his heart when really it's his head. You do know that men's heads are thicker than women's, all right? That is a scientific proven fact. It's the only thing. And it's one thing to know these things in a general way. It's another thing to understand these things with the one you got stuck with. Come on, somebody. Okay. Now, let me show you a Bible verse. Listen very carefully. We can stop right here and be finished for the day. If all of you, listen, if you follow the advice of this one Bible verse, you will never, never, ever have a problem in marriage. Did you hear me? If you follow this Bible verse written by the living God, if you follow this, you will never, never, ever have a problem in marriage. Here it is. Look at this. Paul says, it is good for a man not to marry. Well, Pastor, why did he write that? Well, because he goes on to say this. Watch this. Those who marry will have trouble in this what? Pastor Terry, Pastor Terry. Yes, can I help you? We got a problem. What's the problem? We got trouble in our marriage. Well, that's pretty normal. That's what it says right there. Those who will marry will have trouble in their life. And so, listen, there's nothing wrong. It's pretty normal. If you're going to get married, you are going to have trouble in this life. I've done lots and lots of weddings. And you guys, you know what, most of you may not know this. People torment me in this church. You know how they torment me? They come up to me and they say, did you do our wedding? I can't remember whether I did their wedding, attended their wedding, part of their wedding. I just don't remember. I remember I was there. I remember I was there. But whether I did it or did not do it, I just don't remember anymore. But what I don't see is you don't see these verses on any of the wedding cakes. It's like this. You know, you like this. You go in wedding cakes in pretty calligraphy. Those who will marry will have trouble in this life. Too late for you, sucker. You know. All right. Now, then why get married? Why don't you stay alone? You know, says not alone. Why don't you just stay alone? If that's the case, why get married? Because marriage is fantastic. It's great if you do it right. But it's not without trouble. It is great. It's fantastic. It's ordained of God, but it is not without trouble. Now, let me show you another scripture that it may be too deep theologically for most of you, but since I have my honorary doctorate degree, with that and the dollar, I get a cup of coffee. And I want to show you, I want to unveil this thing in the Hebrew language. I want to unveil this to you, and I think this will help you and quite a bit. And here it is in Proverbs 14 and 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Now, let me help you theologically from the Hebrew. It means this. If you're going to have an ox, you're going to have ox poo. This is church. I could say it differently, but this is church. I grew up on a farm. Listen, if you don't like poo, and most of us don't like poo, the temptation is, if you don't like poo, get rid of the ox. Preach it, brother. Preach it. You don't get rid of the ox. And the problem, because look at the second part of the verse. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. So what it is this. There's a catch 22. On the one hand, you love the benefits of the ox, but nobody likes poo. And what he's trying to tell us is that you cannot have one without the other. And let me just say this, put this up here. There's no such thing as a poo-free marriage. Did you get the deep meaning of this? It just doesn't exist, you know, unless you shoot the ox, you know, but that'll get a whole kind of other problems. So this lesson is not about attaining some state of perfection in your marriage, because you never, ever will. He that has married, it's better for a man not to marry, but if you marry and do it, you will have trouble in this life. And you will do, I mean, we've been married, we just had our 30th wedding anniversary. Come on, somebody. And my mom and dad just had their 67th wedding anniversary. They had 67 years. And they still fight. Come on, somebody. I mean, they're fighting up in the hospital this morning. I had them early this morning. And so it just doesn't exist. It's about, listen, what it is about getting a proper positive to poo ratio in your life. Because if all you get is poo, you got a sick ox. But there's no such thing as a poo-free marriage. In fact, I put it out as a little mathematical term for those of you that's more into mathematics. That is that ox equals poo over positive, or positive over poo. And it's all about, you know, getting the ratio where we want the ratio to be. So let me talk a little bit about that, because it really is true. If you have some kind of silly idea about perfection in a marriage, I always say this, if you guys don't have fights, one of you is not needed. We think alike, we eat alike, we agree alike, all that stuff. Okay. Marriage is wonderful. According to studies, this is statistically, we learn this about married people. Listen, married people are healthier. Healthier. I don't know about you. When I was single, I ate some bad stuff. I don't know what you guys ate, but I mean, I'm going to tell you, when I got married, we had a 7-Eleven store down here. I used to live down here. I had a 7-Eleven store. You know, they came and protested my marriage. They knew I wouldn't be coming. Married people are happier. They tell me happier. Better people. Listen, married people make more money. It's not just because of two incomes. There's a reason why. You know, a single person, they get mad at their boss. They just quit their job. I quit my job. I can go. But you got three kids and three mouths, or, you know, to feed. You don't do that as often. This business. Married people have better sex. TV will never. Is it hot in here? It's getting real hot in here all of a sudden. TV, you know, if you see TV, you would think the only people that really enjoy sex are the single people. You know, you see these, hey, how's your sex life? Duh, I'm married. What do you think? Well, okay, that went over like a 10-time balloon. That's how TV does it, and it's not absolutely true. And then, married people live longer. They did a statistical study, and they showed that, especially for men, a single man, because he's not married, his life expectancy generally is the same life expectancy of someone that smokes 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. That's the lifespan. The same guy that you look at, somebody that's smoking 2.5. The only thing worse would probably be is a single guy smoking, you know, 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. So marriage is wonderful. It can be heaven on earth if you do it right. If you don't, well, you fill in the blanks right there. All right, if you do it. The problem is so many people don't. And many times it's not that they don't want to. It's that they just don't know what they're doing wrong. And Ephesians chapter 5 and 33 says, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects. And so, but what happens is this. If you don't understand how to do it right, instead of love and respect, because a woman wants to feel and know that she is loved, a man wants to feel respected in a marriage. And so it'll be bitterness and resentment rather than love and respect. So I'm about to give you some things that are generally. Now, in every situation, there are some women that are more like men. Doesn't mean they're mannish. It just means that's their characteristic. And some men that fall in the category of women. So don't think this is 100%, but it is a vast majority of men and women. And you can interpolate this for your own family. Taking it. So here's what I was begged to share again today, a little bit of it. I'm going to share a little bit of it, and then we'll go end up with something a little different. But the biggest thing, bitter resentment can build up when one person feels that they are carrying the weight of the burden of that family. If one of the man or the wife feels like that they're carrying the weight of a relationship, they're always having to initiate sex or going out or taking care of the kids or talking about or dealing with this issue or that issue. A lot of things can happen when they begin, one of them feels like they're carrying a bigger burden than the other one's carrying. And how men and women keep score of the burden or the weight of the relationship is what is so unbelievable. Because how a man keeps the score of what's going on in his family versus how a woman keeps the score of what's going on in a family is totally night and day different. So I think it'll help you, and I think this will be kind of fun in the process. So let me start with the men. When it comes to men, we're quite quick to give ourselves a lot of bonus points. We, in fact, when we think about what we do and we contribute and our part of it, we are very quick to pile on the points in our brains. Let me just give you some ideas. Go ahead and put that score up there. I'll show you this. When we get up out of bed in the morning, we give ourselves automatically 500 points for getting out of bed this morning. It's the way we process. When we go to work and we put up with all the stuff and the headache and the yelling and the confusion and all the backbiting and the backstabbing at work and dealing with insane bosses and insane customers and running and doing, we give ourselves 2,000 points for working that day. On the way home, we fight the 5 o'clock traffic. We have to deal with this and that and da, da, da. And so we give ourselves another 500 points when we get home. So when we walk in the door, after we've worked, in our minds, we have just scored 3,000 points walking in the door. So when we walk in the door, that's the reason most men have no problem going over, sitting on the couch, grabbing the remote to control, and start smacking the remote. Just veg out. Because in his mind, he's 3,000 points ahead of you, and he's going to give you time to catch up. I didn't say it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how the sucker works, all right? That's how his brain works. And what happens is a lot of guys, you know, will start feeling very bitter toward their wives if they feel like she's trying to make him do more. What do you mean do more? I've worked and tired. I've been, da, da, da. And because in his mind and psyche, he's way out in bonus points, so he shouldn't have to do anything. Man, I'm so far ahead of you. I don't have to do anything when I get home. The problem is, the wife has a scoring system also. And let me show you. And the way that you scored your day, she also scored your day. And it may surprise you that she scored your day a little differently than the way you scored your day. Here's how it works. He gets out of bed, and when he'd rather stay in bed, and for that she loves and appreciates him, and she gives him, ding, 1 point. He goes to work. He fights all the rub-up of work and all the anything. And because of that, she loves and appreciates you, and she gives you, ding, 1 point. You fight the 5 o'clock traffic. You come back in with your 5 o'clock beard on your face. That she loves and appreciates you. She gives you, everybody say with me, ding, 1 point. So in her mind, when you walk back through that door at the end of the day, you got 3 points, not 3,000 points. And you want to sit on the couch and do nothing, you bum. And she starts getting angry. Now, what happens is this, is because she cooked, she cleaned, she got up, she worked. Many of you got jobs. She did all the lessons. She picked up. She did that a few times. You may have helped out a little bit, picked up this and that. So let me just do this. A lot of guys get very upset about this, but let me tell you, it is the best thing in the world. I shared a few more things this morning I won't be sharing in the second service because my wife is here. She wasn't in the first service, and so I will not be sharing some things I shared in the first service. She was speaking at another church, and so, I don't know what happened, but the computer didn't record it, so it didn't record back there. Who knows? And so... So let me ask this. How can you do this? Let me tell you. When guys hear about this, they tend to get very discouraged. And they think, she don't appreciate how much. She don't have no idea how much it is. Well, you had to go out there and have the weight of this on your shoulder. You buy right. don't stop all that nonsense. Let me tell you how this works. And even though they know you're doing what Pastor Terry said, it still will work. Let me just show you how this works. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me no matter what I do, all I get is one lousy point? Yes. But you can make that work for you. And let me show you how you can make that. The good news is, when men fail to reflect, is that women respond to virtually any act of kindness, no matter how big and no matter how small. Because what won her heart, see, it's really easy to get a woman to fall in love with you if you can ever get her to pay attention to you to start with. Because women respond to acts of kindness. Whether you spend $1 billion or whether you spend a dollar, it doesn't matter. Girl, you see, you need to understand this. Let me just say this. You need to understand this. The reason that we don't do much work at home is because it doesn't mean anything to us. See, Jasmine just was somewhere. Where were you this time? Somewhere, she was gone somewhere for a couple weeks. California? Lebanon. She was in Lebanon a few weeks ago. And let me tell you this. And I've had about 4 nights at the hospital, so I've got some, you know, something. And listen to this. Guess what? The bed never got made. And guess what? It didn't bother me one iota. I can walk out of the house. Who cares? Nobody's going to see it. It airs the bed. I told you, it airs the bed out, and it really is better. My clothes are no longer getting wrinkled because they're over chairs now and they're really staying pressed and nice. But it really didn't bother me. So just get this. In my brain, the reason we don't really give you any credit for some of the housework is it doesn't mean nothing to us. All right. Now, guys, you cannot make that mistake. When she's home. When she's not home, you know, go at it. But when she's home, you've got to realize that every act is, and she scores things very differently than you. Simple acts of kindness. And it's relatively easy. As long as you pay attention to the simple acts of kindness, you can get a woman to stay in love with you for all your life. The Song of Solomon says it this way. Catch the foxes, the little foxes. Everybody say the little foxes. It's the little things. And guys don't think that way. We think big and expensive and larger and all that stuff. That's why us guys, we generally go out for our wives in a big way 4 times a year. Birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, and the Victoria anniversary, you know, Valentine's Day that we just finished up. And we go 4 times a year. We go these big times and we think that ought to keep her. The problem is it doesn't keep her. What do you mean doesn't keep her? I just spent $89, $80, $100 on the meal I took her out to last weekend. And I keep her for at least 6 months. That ought to go over 6 months. Do you know what? You got 1 point off of that big deal. And we think we did something big and special, and that'll hold her. And what she thinks is, you've done 4 things for me the entire time. You bum. And guys get discouraged and for crying out loud, I can't believe. Listen, guys, you can make this work for you. You got to readjust your thinking. All right, and I think about it, show you how you can succeed with a woman by virtually doing nothing. If you stop thinking in your scoring system, and let me show you an example. You get up this morning, let's say you got up this morning, and your wife is in the shower. And you walk by that thing called a bed. And let me tell you, it does not make itself. Now, you may think it does because you never touched it before. But let me tell you what to do. You walk by the bed and you make the bed. Even though she's not going to like how you made it, and she'll redo it later on, you know all that, and she'll adjust it and put the sheets back and put the pillow where it goes. But, when she walks out of the shower, at least leave one pillow on the floor because she might faint, you know. But when she walks out of the shower and the bed is made, guess what happens? Ding! You just got 1 point. You got the same point, 120 seconds it took you. You just got the same point as that $100 meal you took her to. Let me give you another one. You know that monument of dirty underwear you're building in the bathroom floor? Pick it up and put it in the washing machine. Pick it up and put it. You know what? She'll come on the floor and look to see where your dirty underwear is, and what did he do? Did he put it back in the drawer? What did he do with it? You know, it's not dirty enough to... And she finds out you put it in the washing machine. Guess what happens? Ding! You get 1 point. Listen, when you're done eating, instead of slobbering off toward the couch like Jabba the Hutt, you know, to sit there for the rest of the night, just to... Won't you get your plate and take it and wash it in the sink? She'll look at you and guess what happens? She'll go, ding! 1 point. And now you're scoring... But guys, don't get this. I mean, you're scoring example. I mean, on and on. You know, let me give you an example. When men bring women a rose, she goes, ding, 1 point. And he thinks, one rose, 1 point. 12 roses, 12 points. He goes out and buys 12 roses, brings, guess what he gets? Ding, 1 point. If you don't think that's true, guys, watch this. Watch this, guys. How many of you women would rather get one rose 12 times a year than to get 12 roses one time a year? Let's see your hands. How many really? Look at that. You know what guys are thinking? That's so inefficient. That is so inefficient. We could buy every one of them at one time and get our 12 points all at once. And Now let me just say this. Listen, if you want to make out like a bandit, guys, let me just tell you how to work this one. Is plan something special for her. Say a month from now. I mean, already get the babysitter lined up, get the reservations made, get the hotel made, get the restaurant reserved, do all that. And then tell her immediately after you do it. Some guy says, oh, no, I'm going to surprise. You amateur. You're not going to surprise some woman. Tell her immediately after you do it, because you know why? Because if you don't, you lose a month's worth of points. And let me tell you how this works. The moment you tell, hey, honey, yeah, honey, guess what I just did? What'd you do? I just booked us a month from now. I booked us a chalet. We got the babysitter lined up. I got the airplane booked. I got all that. You know what happens? The moment you tell her and you ain't done nothing yet, ding, you just got a point. And then because she's a woman, she's going to tell all her buddies. Hey, Ellen, how you doing? How you doing? What's going on? I just thought I'd call you. What's going on? Nothing going on. What's happening in your house? Oh, you know, bills and, you know, dirty diapers and all that. What's happening in your house? Well, Bob just booked us a chalet in about a month. Guess what happened? Every time she tells a friend, ding, you get a point. You get another. And you're doing absolutely nothing. You've set this snowball into motion, and you're picking up points. And what is really, really good is, you know, the husband of that other woman, he's getting a point taken away from him every time he tells it. It's like double coupon day. I mean, life is really good. And you listen, and you've done absolutely nothing. It's really, let me tell you another one. Guys, if you want to know how to make up points, get up points with your wife, take you absolutely just a few minutes here, is have a meaningful conversation with your wife. If you want to make out like a bandit, learn how to talk to your wife. Let me say this. Engage your wife in a meaningful conversation. And what that means is she talks and you shut up. I mean, that's just how it means. And so what happens is you just can't drift off into la-la land. All right, you just can't be there and your eyes crossed and thinking, you know, TiVo, can I TiVo my way through this? You're just thinking, what you can do is this, let me just say this, everything you acknowledge when that you've heard her, guess what happens? Ding, you get a point. What she does is, let me give you an example. She goes, la, 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 la. And you go, you don't say. She'll look at you, ding, you get 1 point. Watch this. You go, and she goes, la, 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 lipsy do. And you go, you mean lipsy do? Ding! And she goes, la, 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 lipsy do, la, 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 la. And then you say this, how did that make you feel? Ding, 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 ding. I'm going to tell you, even though they know I've told you this, it still works. Oh, you're just doing that because Pastor Terry did it. No, I love it. Oh, then you. Listen, and you've done absolutely nothing. All right, women. What about women? All right, let me get this. Ephesians 5:33 says, See that a wife respects her husband. One of the biggest things a husband wants is respect. You can't forget that he gives himself huge bonus points for everything he does. So in his mind, he's doing this, and he's giving himself, so okay, you know, sex is a great way. I understand that. We'll just leave that for another day, another time. You can get bonus points there. But when you, listen, one of the biggest things is when you respect him, when you believe in him. And whether you know it or not, that guy you married has a very fragile ego. He has a very fragile ego. And every man wants his wife to believe in him. And now, that sounds very simple to some of you newlyweds, because you have not seen the incredible stupid ideas he's going to come up with in his life. Let's all sell off and move to Alaska. Let's, you know, tear this house down. Let's nail that wall. I can do that. One time I told Jasmine we had a problem with a plumbing thing back there. Many years ago when I first got married, I wasn't as adept then. I said, I can fix this. Go get me a acetylene torch. Come on, I read right there. I'm in trouble. And I took the faucet off, and I was heating it up to be able to, you know, put the flux on there to get it back together. And I caught the insulation on fire inside the wall. It kept filling the walls. It kept getting hotter up here, and then it kept climbing, you know. And it didn't have fire blocks in it, and so it was climbing all. And so I remember when Central Fire Trucks had to come out and climb up in my attic to put out, you know, my great idea that I was fixing to save myself some money. And but you got to believe in him. That's one of the big things. And a lot of women feel it's their God-given responsibility to keep their husbands humble. And so they say some dumb things that crush their ego or their guy. And so when your husband, you know, shares a dream and they say, that's stupid. You don't understand that he didn't want you to fix it or explain. You know, I think I maybe need to think, well, I don't think that's stupid. That's a stupid idea. You ought to do this. And he's not asking you to just like you don't want him to fix whatever you're saying. He's just dreaming with you. He's dreaming. And if you shoot him down in that, and so what happens is you talk to a man like that, you're doing irreparably damage to your relationship. And he won't open up again. You're not figured out. Yet men have very fragile egos. Women treat their husbands away when he shares his dreams with you and you dismiss him as stupid. And what it doesn't mean is that what happens is you need to be his number one fan. Almost miraculously at work, there's some bimbo. Here's about one of you. Oh, I heard what you said. Ooh, that's the greatest idea I ever heard. Well, thank you. Thank you very much over there. And most affairs do not happen because of sexual desire. It happens because of ego needs. And so what happens is ego needs are met at work. And so when you understand that, you need to know you're his number one fan. That boy needs to know that. And that's hard for women, especially if you've got a corporate husband or somebody that said that, because everybody else is praising him all the time. And you're the one to feel like, I got to keep his feet on the ground. So you stupid, ugly, you need to do that. And so these things come out and we think we're bouncing and we're really doing damage to our relationship. This causes huge damage. You need to let that boy know you're his number one fan. And as much as I appreciate everyone that tells me, oh, Pastor, I like that sermon, Pastor, there's a little brunette from Lebanon that when she tells me, even though I know she might not even believe it, means more to me than anything else. How many know sometimes when they tell you, you can tell they're just doing it to encourage you, and other times they really mean it? Okay, this is going to be right on here. I forgot. All right. The biggest thing happens, we're out of time. Let me tell you, the biggest thing happens in marriages is scores get out of balance. And because people keep score. And let's just say that in your family, you feel like it's 250,000 to 2. That's the balance, how you've kind of figured up in your marriage. That's the difference in the weight that I'm carrying versus they're carrying. And one of the biggest ideas I've ever learned to do is this. What do you do when everything gets so out of whack? What do you do when the scores get all lopsided in your brain? All right. You have to understand sometimes you may have counted differently than the other person, because both of you may feel like I'm carrying all the weight, he's carrying all the weight, I'm carrying all the weight. But let me say, the best thing you can do is this, is hit the reset button of forgiveness. When I was young, we had our kids about 30, and the big rage back then was Nintendo. I don't know what model or what one, but it was about Mario Karts. And so my kids would drag me, you know, to go play video games with them. I wasn't very good at it because I didn't play it a lot. But, you know, when I start that Mario Kart, you know, it wouldn't take about 5 minutes into the game. They'd lap me about five times. You know, they're lapping me. But you know what I learned? I could let my hand just sort of like do this, just kind of go like it over toward the Nintendo set. And guess what was on the Nintendo set? There was a reset button on the Nintendo set. And when they got ahead of me about five laps, I'd hit that reset. Guess what happened? We'd all be back at the starting line. Dad! And it would happen again. I'd just hit that reset button. So they didn't ask me very often to play with them anymore because we kept hitting the reset button. But what happens in marriages is, I believe, when you press the reset button, everything would go back the way it was. Wouldn't it be fantastic in your life if you could have a reset button where you could hit a reset button? And really, it is the reset button. God's given us such that, and it's really called forgiveness. And it's really the reset button of life. And the reason I do that, Jesus addressed a group of people one day that they weren't able. It wasn't that they weren't able; they weren't willing. And so, one of the keys about life is, all of us can hit the reset button in our marriage. It's whether or not we're willing. They said to Moses, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this commandment. Because of the hardness of heart, he wrote this. When your heart gets hard, you're not willing to hit the reset button of forgiveness. And what happens is bitterness and forgiveness hardens your heart. Instead of having love and respect in your marriage, you end up with bitterness and resentment. You just end up with bitterness and resentment. You didn't care for me. You weren't there when my, daddy died. You weren't there when this happened. You weren't there for me and all these things can come up to where we felt like we had to carry the weight of whatever it was. And we're not willing to deal with forgiveness. And unforgiveness is like, I've said it many times, it's like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I mean, it's drinking it and waiting for the other person to die. And it really is poisonous to your system. It was never made for us. Really, forgiveness is Christianity 101. I mean, that's not some deep theological thing. It is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, whoever believes, and repent. And forgiveness is 101. And Jesus taught us that if we don't forgive people, we won't be forgiven. And that doesn't exclude your wife or your husband. That the principle is there. Christianity 101 is, anybody in this world that hurts you, the Bible says forgive them that's wronged you. And your wife or your husband is not excluded in that general principle. So we are commanded to forgive our wife and forgive our husband. And if you think that somehow there's some exception for you because of the severity or the reason or you don't understand and you don't get it and you don't know what they did, if somehow you think there's some exception, you're fooling yourself. There's not one person whatever's happened in your life that the Lord does not say forgive them. There's lots of stories in there, but we're out of time. Let me just say this. Forgiveness, now listen very, very carefully. Forgiveness is not an act. It is not an emotion. You will never feel like forgiving. Oh, I feel so good. I just feel like you won't do that. And let me just tell you, the Bible says God will remember your sins no more. You think God has Alzheimer's? You think God's got dementia? I mean, it's somehow that God, he looks at you and you think, I don't know, for some reason I feel like I'm ticked off at you, but I just can't remember why I'm mad at you. No, God doesn't forget. So forgetting or emotional, whatever it may be, it's an act. And that means, listen, forgiveness has more to do with your will than it does your heart or your head. By that I mean is you'll probably remember whatever it was till the day you die. It's just that God says, I will hold your sins against you no more. I will never bring them up. I will not speak of them to you. I will not say it to you. I will not hold you accountable for them. I will not treat you that way. And so what forgiveness has to do is dealing with, I'm never going to use this against you again. I'm never going to bring this up again, what you did, what happened. I'm never going to bring that up against you again. It's gone. It's over. I'm not going to bring it up. And so that happens, you begin to live like God. And the Bible teaches that God throws our sins into the depths of the sea. And forgiveness says, I forgive you. I'll never do it. So I want you to do this. I want you to slip your hand in your wife or your husband's hand right quick, would you? And I want you to do this because many of us, when you grow up, you learn how to do things or not do things. And so I want you just to think this. I want all the guys to say this with me. And I'm going to be saying this with my wife. Come on up here. I get Jasmine up here holding my hand. She may squeeze it real hard, but we'll do it. And I want her, I want to do this. And I want all of us, the guys this morning, I want you to say this with me. Say, honey. Oh, come on, guys. Say, honey. I'm sorry for not always being there. For not being the kind of husband I should be to you. Weak, weak, weak. For not giving you the attention you deserve. For being too caught up in my own world instead of our world. For demanding too much. For not giving enough. For not loving you like I should. Please forgive me. With your love and your support and your patience and your prayers, I will strive to be the kind of husband God wants me to be.
I forgive you.
Oh, she forgives me. Amen. Amen. All right, can you read this one for the ladies? Can you see that? I don't even have a mic up here, do I? Okay. I'll read it for the ladies.
Honey, can they hear it?
Yeah, they can hear it.
Honey, I'm sorry for not always being the kind of wife I should be to you. For not always...
Appreciating. I wrote this just for her, so go ahead.
Appreciating all that you do for not believing in your hopes and dreams. For not loving you like I should. Is everyone else saying it too? Or am I the only one? Please forgive me.
I do.
With your love, your support, your patience, and your prayers, I will strive to be the kind of wife God wants me to be.
Now do this. You got your hands. We're going to squeeze them. If you're willing to press the reset button in your life for forgiveness, I want you to squeeze your mate's hand right now. Would you do that? Come on. All right. Plant a big one on her lips. Would you do that? All right. Give the Lord a good clap offer. Amen. Let me pray over you. Close your eyes, everybody. Father, we thank you today for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a chance to start over and over and over again. There's no end to your love. And so, Lord, today, we just thank you for newness. Give us wisdom on how to live with each other in knowledge and not just some blindly TV Hollywood way, but to really understand our mate and to live. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Give the Lord one more good clap offering. Would you do that? God bless you.